ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे विल कंटिन्यू। वी आर स्टिल इन दी 29th चैप्टर ओनली। सो यस्टरडे वी सॉ कपिल देव डिस्क्राइबिंग अबाउट इन रेस्पॉन्स टू मदर देवहूतिस क्वेश्चंस अबाउट द नेचर ऑफ भक्ति। शी वॉन्टेड टू नो फर्दर अबाउट द नेचर ऑफ भक्ति, mainly about the practices, and she also wanted to know about the nature of time, and then she wanted to know about the nature of samsara, how birth and death happens in this material world, and whatever kind of birth one gets, one has to suffer in this material world. So she wanted to know further about the nature of bhakti because that's what she wanted to practice. And now Kapila Dev will speak about the nature of time so that one can have a sense of urgency in their practice. Otherwise, it becomes very diluted and slow. So, understanding the nature of time, understanding the relentless nature of time, one develops a sense of urgency. So that's what we are going to see now in this last section of 29th chapter. And then we'll, the 30th chapter onwards, for the next three chapters, Kapila Dev will speak about samsara. The nature of birth and death in this material world. So we'll start today with Kapila Dev speaking about the characteristics of time. भक्तियोगश्च योगश्च मया मानव्युदीरितः ययोरेकतरेणैव पुरुष पुरुषं व्रजेत्। सो कपिल देव सेज, ओ मानवी, बिकॉज मदर देवहूति इज दी डॉटर ऑफ स्वयंभुव मनु, सो कपिल देव इज अड्रेसिंग हर एज ओ मानवी। मया उदीरितः भक्तियोगश्च योगश्च, आई हैव thus explained to you about bhakti yoga and ashtanga yoga. Yayoho, by these practices, purusham purushah purusham vrajet, a person will attain the supreme personality of Godhead. Ekatarenaiva, or by practice of ashtanga yoga, one could attain the impersonal Brahman. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. Here it is clearly stated, purushah purusham vrajet. The purusha, the living entity, goes to the supreme person. The supreme personality of Godhead and the living entity are qualitatively one. Both are defined as purusha, as this verse is, purushah purusham vrajet, like that. The quality of purusha exists both in the supreme lord and the living entity. Purusha means enjoyer, and the spirit of enjoyment is present both in the living entity and in the Supreme Lord. The difference is that the quantity of enjoyment is not equal. The living entity cannot experience the same quantity of enjoyment as the Supreme Lord. An analogy may be made with a rich man and a poor man. The propensity for enjoyment is present in both, but the poor man cannot enjoy in the same quantity as the rich man. But when the poor man dovetails his desires with those of the rich man, however, and when there is cooperation between the poor man and the rich man, or between the big and the small man, then the enjoyment is shared equally. So when there is bhakti, then one gains access to the wealth of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the bliss experienced by the Lord. But of course, one does not perform it to gain all that. As we saw yesterday, bhakti means perform to gain a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Satata yukti, an eternal relationship with the Lord. That's the only thing devotee is looking for. That is like bhakti yoga. Purushah purusham vrajet. When the living entity enters into the kingdom of God and cooperates with the Supreme Lord by giving him enjoyment, he enjoys the same facility or the same amount of pleasure as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later Prabhupada says, it is said herein that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead either by either the yoga process or the bhakti yoga process. This indicates that factually there is no difference between yoga and bhakti yoga, because the target of both is Vishnu. In one sense, if you see it as gradual development, ultimately Ashtanga yoga is meant to elevate one to the stage of bhakti yoga. So in that sense, in the modern age, however, a yoga process has been manufactured which aims at something void and impersonal. Actually, yoga means meditation on the form of Lord Vishnu. If the yoga practice, so there is nothing called meditating on the void. There may be merging in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti as the prayojan, but as the abhideya itself, meditating on the void is not a Vedic process. If the yoga practice is actually performed according to the standard direction, there is no difference between yoga and bhakti yoga. As we saw in the 28th chapter, one of the limbs of Ashtanga yoga was given as Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. Meditating on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, form of the Lord, that's the kind of meditation that's recommended in Ashtanga yoga also. So then he continues, Etad Bhagavato Rupam Brahmana Paramatmanah Parampradanam Purusham Daivam Karma Vicheshtitam Rupavedaspadam Divyam Kala Yatyabidhiyate Bhutanam Mahadadinam Yato Binnadrisham Bhayam. So Kapiladev says, Etad Bhagavato Rupam, I am this form of Bhagavan that I mentioned in the previous verse. Brahmana Paramatmanah, and I only appear as Brahman and Paramatma. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate. So it is not three different you can say personalities, but it is just three different stages of realizing the same personality. In fact, the more one progresses on the path of bhakti, one's impersonalistic understanding gradually takes one towards the personal form of the Lord. So it's like a very gradual progress. It's not something very drastic that today you hear that the absolute truth is not an impersonal light, but he is a person. And then you said, oh, what a wonderful information I have received. From today, I'll become a worshipper of the personal form. It doesn't happen like that. So, one's progress from appreciating the absolute truth as an impersonal aspect without any qualities, to appreciating the absolute truth as Akhila Rasamrita Murti, as one who perfectly reciprocates with the transcendental emotions of every single devotee, that transition is a very gradual transition. That happens with one's progress on the path of bhakti. The more one progresses, the example of a train approaching is given. A similar example is given by Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur also. He says that from a distance, when you look at a village, you just see some light here and there. But the more closer you go, you start seeing some trees and other bigger objects. And the more closer you go, you start seeing some houses. And then when you go to the village, you start seeing people having relationships with each other, like that. So the acharyas explained that this approaching process, the person approaching the village, indicates one's progress on the path of bhakti. The more one progresses on the path of bhakti, the more he can appreciate the absolute truth to be a person. So it's like a spectrum. It's not like three discrete stages. You know, it's not Dhruva Maharaj, in one of his prayers, he very nicely indicates this aspect. That how, when one progresses from on the path of bhakti, that very same Brahman, which one identified as having no form, no qualities, nothing, that very same Brahman starts acquiring little by little more qualities. So then he comes to the next stage, where he can appreciate the absolute truth to have a form, to have some qualities, but material qualities. That is the Purushavataras. So the Purushavataras are the appreciating the Paramatma feature of the Lord is an intermediate stage. Why? Because a personal form is accepted, but material qualities are only attributed to the Supreme Lord. How he can create, maintain and destroy this material universe. That is one stage. But then when one progresses further in bhakti, then one is able to accept that actually this personality could have a life of his own also. Where he has his own people. He doesn't have to manage the material universe, which is filled with rebellious souls. But he also might have a life of his own, where he has his own people with whom he would like to enjoy. So it becomes little more, the more one progresses, it becomes little more easier for him to accept and appreciate that the personality of Godhead can have some spiritual qualities also, and spiritual activities also. Then, when he progresses still further, it culminates in acceptance of the Lord, acceptance of Krishna in Vrindavan. That is the culmination of one's understanding of absolute truth. So, that's what is indicated here. So, etat bhagavato rupam brahmana paramatmanah. I am this form of Bhagavan who also appears as Brahman and Paramatma. But Param, he is beyond material nature. Pradhanam Purusham Daivam iti abhidiyate. And the Lord is also defined as Prakriti, because Prakriti is the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. Jiva, because he is the Tatastha Shakti. And Karma, which is the cause of various activities. So karma is the cause of various activities because it offers the facility to act in a particular way. You know, whatever is our karmic residue, based on that we get appropriate facility to act in a particular way. In that sense, karma is the reason for various activities. And Divyam Kala, the Lord is also time, because that's also one of his energies. Because of the non-difference between the energy and the energetic, the Lord is also addressed in that way. Or sometimes the Lord, as in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord identifies with many of his vibhutis. He says, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi, Ashwanam, Uchai Shravasam Ashwanam, and so on. What it means is that all of them represent a portion of Krishna's potency. All of them represent a portion of Krishna's controlling potency. And he mentions Kala Kalayatamaham, and amongst the controllers I am time, in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So in that sense, all these vibhutis are also Krishna, in the sense that they represent a particular aspect of Krishna's opulence to some degree, not to the complete degree. Because to the complete degree, even if he may present it, but because we cannot have a pratyaksha of that, it is very difficult to relate. Like he says, of the immovable, I am the Himalayas. But what does it take for Krishna to move that Himalaya? Nothing. He can move universes just like that. Universes literally emanate from his body. In that sense, universes are also not immovable. They also keep moving back and forth. And Himalayas is just a very small part of that universe. So for the Lord to move a Himalayas is not very difficult. But for us, you know, we have been seeing Himalayas from time immemorial. You know, it remains the same. It's immovable. So in a way that we can relate to, this is not the complete opulence of the Supreme Lord. But when you look at Himalayas, you know, that immovability, you know, of that Himalayas, you know, it hits you. You know, it's so huge. So in that sense, you can say, you know, each one of these vibhutis indicate to some degree a particular potency of the Lord. Because Krishna speaks about his vibhuti in response to Arjuna's question, where he says, Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintiyosi bhagavan maya. In what all things can I see you that can give me a natural remembrance of you? So it's not that a stone is not Krishna's vibhuti, but looking at a stone and imagining Krishna's greatness is not so easy. But looking at Himalayas and imagining a particular aspect of Krishna is much more easy. So in that sense, and then he says, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Because the moon is said to be the controller of the constellations. As in the first verse of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Akhila Rasamrita Murti Prashramara Ruchirudda Taraka Pali. In that verse it is mentioned that one of the secondary meanings of that verse is Vidhu refers to moon, full moon. And a full moon, because of its natural effulgence, it is mentioned that it controls all the constellations. Taraka Pali. Prashramara Ruchirudda Taraka Pali. Taraka means stars. Pali means a collection of stars. So a collection of stars is called constellation. So however beautiful and majestic a particular constellation might look, but still the effulgence of a moon completely subdues that constellation. So it is mentioned that the moon is the controller of the constellations in the sky. So he says, of the constellations, I am the moon, the controller of all those constellations. So when one looks at the vast expanse of the sky, when he looks at the moon, he can remember Krishna. Or even when he looks at the constellations, he can remember Krishna by remembering the moon, which controls all the constellations. So like that, so these vibhutis are mentioned, the prominent vibhutis are mentioned, even though every single dust particle of this universe is a vibhuti of Krishna, but only the, as Krishna says, pradhanyata kuru sreshta, I am mentioning only the pradhanya vibhutis, because seeing them, it is very easy to remember Krishna. As Prahlad Maharaj asks Narasingadev, Prahlad Maharaj asks, sorry, Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad Maharaj, where is your Lord? So is he there in this pillar? So he says, oh, he is there in this pillar, he is there in a particle of dust, he is there in a twig also. No problem. So even though it's not that he was saying this in just to mention in a very poetic way, actually the Lord is present. But then when you look at a pillar or a twig or a particle of dust, it is difficult to remember the Supreme Lord. But when a deity form of the Lord is there, then it's much more easier to meditate on the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Krishna mentions the very prominent vibhutis by looking at which, by thinking of which, it's more easier to appreciate the potencies of the Supreme Lord. So that's what he is indicating here. So he's mentioning a few vibhutis here. He's talking about Prakriti, the Jiva, Karma, Kala, all of them are potencies of the Supreme Lord. And Kala, he says, is Rupa Bedaspadam. Kala is the cause of transformation of material objects. So, you know, whenever you think of change, the element of time is always there. You know, that's what strikes you very prominently. Change means immediately what you think is effect of time. In fact, that's what starts this creation also, as it is mentioned in the second canto. Kalat gunavyatikarah parinamat swabhavatah karmano janma mahatah purushadishtitadabhut. Brahmaji mentions that kalat gunavyatikarah, time is what starts this whole process by agitating the three gunas. And then at every aspect of creation, at every stage, the time factor acts, playing its role. So that is one nature of time, which is the cause of transformation of material objects. And then he says, yato bhutanam, yato mahadadinam binnadrisham bhutanam bayam. Time instigates fear in those living beings who possess material bodies and identify with those material bodies. For those with bodily consciousness, time instigates fear. So these are the two prominent qualities of time. That which causes the transformation of material objects, and by such a transformation, it instills fears in the heart of people with materialistic identification, like that. So here, Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur writes, in the previous verse, Kapiladev mentioned that one could attain the Supreme Lord either by Bhakti Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or the other processes. Bhakti yogascha yogascha, he mentioned. Say that one attains me, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, who is that person? In response, Kapiladev puts his finger to his chest and clarifies this point, that I am that person. Etat bhagavato rupam. I am this form of Bhagavan. So, purusha purusham vrajet. So, Devahuti asks, oh, who is that purusham? So, he says, I am that one. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of 37th verse, he says, everyone is afraid of the activities of time, but a devotee who knows that the time factor is another representation or manifestation of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear from the influence of time. Because a devotee knows that every moment spent in the service of Krishna takes him one step closer to Krishna. So, therefore, the passage of time does not really instill that fear in the heart of the devotee. Like it is mentioned that in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. So, conspicuous by its absence does not mean that, you know, it's always 7 o'clock, it never becomes 7, 5, 7, 10, not like that. You know, there is passage of time. But when time passes, the effect of time, the deteriorating effect of time, which leads to a sense of fear, that is not there. It's not that there is no time in the spiritual world. Any vibhuti that you see in the material world has its counterpart in the spiritual world. Just that it's all chidvastu. In the material world, time is in one sense jadavastu only. But in the spiritual world, time is chidvastu. It does not indiscriminately act. It acts according to the will of the Supreme Lord. Which means sometimes it shrinks itself, sometimes it expands. It acts according to the will of the Lord. So there is, you know, daytime, noontime, evening time, night time. You know, time passes, but it all increases the ecstasy of Krishna and his devotees. For that purpose, time assists in the pastimes of Krishna, and it does not really create that sense of fear in people's heart. Another reason is that there are no people with mahadadinam binnadrisham. Mahadadinam binnadrisham people are not there in the spiritual world also. So therefore there is no one identifying with this. Of course they can identify with their bodies, that's not wrong. We cannot identify with our bodies, and they are not people who are within the clutches of the three modes. So therefore, you know, time does not have that kind of effect on them like that. So let's continue.
Here Krishna is saying about, Kapila Dev is saying that the Bhagavan becomes Paramatma or the Jnanis realize him as Brahman and Yogis realize him as Paramatma. So could you also just once explain about sometimes Krishna also speaks in third person, as a third person in Bhagavad Gita also, that surrender unto him and like that. So they are also the same type of Bhagavan and Bhagavan, Paramatma and Brahman differentiation, as well as Yajna Purusha differentiation happens. So could you please explain once about that also?
In Bhagavad Gita, sometimes he refers to himself
in the third,
in the third person.
Third person. As well as Yajna Purusha, Tadartham Karma Kaunteya,
Tadartham Karma Kaunteya, Muktasanga Samachara.
Yes. Similarly, 15th chapter also, Paramatma hi udharatha, something he says there.
Correct. I have to, I'm not able to immediately recall, but one place it is, I remember reading that it's out of humility that he says, that, you know, whoever that person, maybe you surrender unto him, instead of wanting to sound like, you know, you surrender to me like that. But in every context is that the reason I am not able to recollect. Maybe some explanation must be given. But in one context I remember the Acharyas explaining that, you know, out of his natural humility, he mentions that, you know, you surrender to that person who is endowed with these qualities like that.
Is it like the specific functions as Kapil Dev is talking about, that the Jnanis actually want to realize him as simply existence? So Brahman feature is actually what they realize. Similarly, like Taradartham Karma Kaunteya, at that particular time it's actually only Yajna being talked about. So Yajna processes, they actually are offered to Yajna Purusha, not Krishna directly as such. Bhagavan Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna.
Yeah.
Directly. So is that the functional aspect, whichever is the function?
As Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Ritchati. In that he sort of encapsulates all these aspects. So a Karma Yogi appreciates him as Yajya Bhuk, Bhoktaram Yajya. And a Jnana Yogi appreciates him as the as that person for whom he is performing all that tapasya, tapo book, bhoktaram yajna tapasam. And a yogi sees him as that sarvaloka maheshwaram, the paramatma who is the controller of this whole universe, that is me. But so all of them sees Krishna as, okay, you know, he is that Lord whom I am trying to worship in this particular feature. Whereas the devotee sees him as Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is my best well-wisher. So he wants to establish a relationship with Krishna. So, yeah, depending on whatever kind of, you can say, relationship you want to have with Krishna, in that way you perceive him also, based on your utility that you are looking for. And
I had one more question on about the evolution of vision which you were talking about, that how gradually in the Dhruva Maharaj pastime you were talking.
Dhruva Maharaj prayers.
Okay, so there the evolution of this vision is given.
Yesterday
also we were discussing about the same vision in terms of different equalities are established. There is also, is it?
Yeah, correct. That's, yeah, vision according to one's, yeah, progress in bhakti. Yeah, you can say. Correct. Okay, so we'll continue. Yonta pravishya bhutani bhutai ratyakilashrayah Savishnuakyodi agyosau kala kalayatam prabhu. Kala, the time, akhila ashraya, time which is the shelter of all beings. Why is time called the shelter of all beings? Okay, Krishna says that for many other things also. If time is not there, we cannot do anything. Okay. Okay. Madhav Seva Prabhu. Okay. Okay. In one sense, generally all living entities are sheltered by their karma. So when we perform any particular activity, we gain karma. So karma is the currency by which you can purchase whatever pleasures that we might need. So if we have the currency of karma, we can purchase. So for common men, it is karma which acts as the currency to get anything. So the shelter is provided by karma. And time is the carrier of that karma. So if time does not carry that karma, then the living entity is not sheltered. But for a devotee, he feels sheltered by the will of the Lord. And time carries that too, the will of the Lord. So therefore, when Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate, tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So, in the section prior to that, this is 9.22, and in the section 9.20, 21, etc., he speaks about Trividyamam Somapa Putapapa Yajna Rishtva Swargatim Prarthayante Te Punyam Asadhya Surendra Lokam. So how through the currency of karma, how these karmakandis go to Swarga, get their enjoyment, come back, and all that he describes. And then Srila Vishnu Jagadagur explains, why does Krishna all of a sudden speak this Ananyas Chintayanto Mam verse? So he says that Krishna was wondering, but what will my devotee do? He has voluntarily, through the process of surrender, he has surrendered all his currency to me. Because like we saw yesterday, surrender is the means to get out of the clutches of karma. Surrender means to get out of the clutches of karma. So, no karma means no currency. So Krishna feels that this devotee has surrendered his currency to me. So I have to ensure that he is personally taken care. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Whatever he lacks, I have to ensure that he is provided for, and whatever he has, I have to ensure that it is protected. So therefore, Krishna speaks that a devotee, he does not need the currency of karma. For him, I personally take care of his needs. Like that. So, because time carries both the karma for a person who has not yet surrendered, and time also carries the will of the Lord for the devotees, both of which give a sense of shelter for living entities. Therefore, time is also called Akhila Ashraya, the shelter of all beings. Kalayatam Prabhu, he is the master of those controlled. Yaha Antapravishya Bhutani, this time, having entered all beings, Bhutair Atti, it destroys them through other living entities. So time destroys other living entities through other living entities. Sa Vishnu Akyaha, and this time feature is also called Vishnu. What is the meaning of Vishnu? Vishnu means one who is all pervading. So time is also all pervading. Therefore, time is also called Vishnu, and of course, it is also a vibhuti of Vishnu. Adiyajnaha asau, and time is the giver of results of sacrifice. Like that. So various characteristics of time is described by Kapila Dev here, because this was requested by Mother Devahuti. Please speak about the nature of time. So here Srila Vishnu Chakradagur writes, this verse describes the method of creating fear. Having entered into all beings, he destroys them by other living beings. So, in essence, it is time only which is destroying through other living entities. Like that. Nachasyakas chiddaito nadveshyo nachabandavaha avishatya pramattosau pramattam janamantakrit. Nacha asya kaschid daitaha. So for time, no one is dear. to time. Na dveshyah, he hates no one. Na cha bandava, and no one is friendly to time. Apramatta, he is always awake. Antakrit, and he brings death. Avishati janam, and he destroys all living entities. Asau pramattam, who are unaware of its existence. Those who are aware of its existence would, as we saw in the previous chapter, or this chapter only, yad hetoho kushalam jana, Mother Devahuti mentioned. One who is aware of time, then the effect of time, they very much plan based on their consciousness. If their level of Shraddha is on the level of Karmakanda, then they plan everything nicely, performing pious activities so that they can, you know, have a nice fixed deposit for their next life. The same way, in every particular practice, a sincere practitioner who is one who is aware of the nature of time. Whether it is Bhakti Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga, any of these yogas, a sincere practitioner is one who is aware of the nature of time and prepares beforehand. That's what when Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita also, that, okay, that's a different context. Okay, so here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, forgetfulness of one's relationship with Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of one's repeated birth and death. A living entity is as eternal as the Supreme Lord, but due to his forgetfulness, he is put into this material nature and transmigrates from one body to another. And when the body is destroyed, he thinks that he is also destroyed. Actually, this forgetfulness of his relationship with Lord Vishnu is the cause of his destruction. Or is the cause of his perceived destruction. Anyway, the living entity is not destroyed. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakah. But because of his wrong identification, he thinks that he is destroyed. Anyone who receives his consciousness of the original relationship receives inspiration from the Lord. Then, Kapiladeva continues, yad bhayad vati vato yam suryas tapati yad bhayad, yad bhayad varshate devo bhagano bhati yad bhayad. Second time Kapiladeva is speaking a similar verse. First time he said mad bhayad vati vatoyam suryas tapati mad bhayad, but now he is telling yad bhayad vati vatoyam. So indicating that you know, all these controllers are afraid of the nature of time. So wind blows because of fear of time, sun produces heat because of fear of time, Indra produces rain, stars shine, everything because of the fear of time. So then, yad vanaspatayo bhita latas chaushadi bissaha sve sve kale bigrananti pushpani cha falani cha. Yad bhita, out of fear of time, vanaspatayah lataha cha aushadi bihisaha, the plants, creepers and herbs, abigrananti pushpani cha falani cha, produce flowers and fruits in the proper season. Sve sve kale. Of course, in today's day and time, you can get any fruit, any flower at any time. You know, this few months back, I had come to Pune on my way to Baramati. We had gone to see some poly houses where they grow Shavanti, chrysanthemum. Many different varieties of chrysanthemum. So we went to take you know, to learn, you know, how we can also do it. So, actually the season for Shavanti is winter months. Generally, towards late November till maximum till early March or mid-February is the season. So, here they have made a system where, you know, you can get it round the year. Round the year you can get, you can grow, because it has very good, especially due to westernization, you know, it's used in bouquets. So the longer the, so the flower has minimal value only. The longer the stalk, you know, the stem, the higher is the cost, because it can be used in a nice long bouquet. So they have made a system where it could be grown around the year. 365 days you can get. So, you know, everything is, you know, incidentally, on the day on which we had gone to visit that place, some delegates had come from Israel. You know, that company which provides those saplings is an Israeli company. They provide the chemicals that are needed to grow the flowers. You know, they have all the know-hows of how that, you know, poly house has to be constructed. You know, everything is controlled. Irrespective of whatever might be the outside temperature, humidity level, whatever it may be, inside it's a whole different world. You enter and it's a whole different world. Nothing matters. You know, humidity is controlled, temperature is controlled. You know, Shavanti especially needs, you know, winter kind of day and night, you know. Little shorter days, longer nights. So, what the particular level of illumination. So, every day they have to cover it with a particular kind of shade net so that they get that kind of darkness. And again and again he was, that Israeli delegate, he was mentioning that, you know, we are here trying to do factory line production. So even flowers and fruits, you know, factory line production. And it's more or less like that only, you know. He says every single thing has to be the same height. So he saw a few plants which were like, you know, 2 inches less, 2 inches more. So he was questioning, why is this 2 inches more? And they started, you know, researching on that. And he found out that, you know, they have drip lines. You know, it's not, they are not watered with hose pipes. You know, they are watered with drip lines. So he said, you see, you have not put the drippers at the right position. This dripper is half a centimeter away, you know, from the plant. That's why, you know, this plant has, you know, it's 2 inches shorter than this plant, like that. Because he said that everything has to be harvested at the same time. And only those with exactly same stock height, they can be harvested and they will have some market value. So in today's day and age, you know, everything. And you enter that place, naturally, if somewhere nice organic growth is happening, you pick up some, you know, soil, it has that nice fragrance. If it is properly, it has proper organic content. But there it smells only like chemicals, nothing else. And that's why, you know, I felt that I was there inside for about, say, 20-25 minutes. And coming out, I felt like I have contracted cancer or something like that. I had that feeling, you know. So artificial. But otherwise, according to nature, you know, you can... And those flowers had absolutely no fragrance. So you come to GV, the actual naturally grown Shavanti has very good fragrance. So if you just dry it, and powder it, and you can mix it with dhoop, and it has, you know, it can be used as a, you know, as an additive for fragrance. So these are actually some factory line products only, you know, not really flowers. Otherwise, the regular flowers and fruits, they have their proper season when they produce. So he says that yad vanaspatayo bita latas chaushadivissaha sve sve kale abhigrananti pushpani cha phalani cha. At their appropriate times, they create flowers and fruits. Yeah, it means the demigods controlling these various aspects. They are, fear means they are not paranoid. They are like very much aware of not performing their duty on time. Yeah. Fear has many categories. Yeah, fear has many flavors. You know, fear of displeasing someone whom you may like or respect. Fear of failures. You know, you can like that. There could be many different, you know, fear of some impending calamity. Some are healthy fears, some are not so healthy. Like that. So then he says, Sravanti sarito bhita notsar patyudadhir yatah agnir indesa giribir bhurna majjati yad bhayat. Sravanti sarito bhita. River flows due to fear of time. Udadihi na utsarpati. Whereas an ocean does not overflow because of fear of time. Agnir inde, fire burns because of fear of time. Buhu means earth. Sa giribir, along with its mountains, na majjati, it does not sink. Yad bhayat, because of fear of time. Then, nabo dadati swashatam padam yanniyama dadaha. Lokam swadeham tanute mahan saptabiravritam. Yad niyamat, by the order of time, nabo dadati padam, sky provides space. And that's the nature of sky. Ether means it provides space. Shwasatam, unto those living entities who are alive. Mahan and Brahmaji, swadeham tanute, he spreads out his body of the planets covered by the seven layers. So sometimes the universe or the universal form is attributed to Vishnu, and sometimes it is attributed to Brahmaji also as a secondary attribution. So sometimes the universal form is said to be Brahmaji, an expansion of Brahmaji. Sometimes it's said to be an expansion of Lord Vishnu. But there is no contradiction here. Primarily, it is like it is an expansion of Lord Vishnu. But secondarily, it is attributed to Brahmaji. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastata Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loka Imam Praja. So he says that all these Maharshayas Saptapurve, the Saptarishis, Chatvaro Manavastata, and the 14 Manus, Madbhava Manasa Jata, he says that they are all born from my mind. But they are all born from whose mind? Brahmaji's mind. So sometimes, you know that kind of address is used. When Krishna says, they are all born from my mind, when he is referring to one of his expansions, Brahmaji. For us, it is difficult to understand why is Krishna speaking like this. because we may tend to see Brahmaji and Krishna as two different unrelated personalities. But when we also tend to do something, you know, like when we have someone working under us and we deliver something to someone through that person, we may say, "Maine de diya." You know, I have given it. So when you have not personally handed it over, you have passed it through someone else. So therefore, in the same way, when Krishna says that, you know, they are all born from me only. So it could, in some senses, it's not it does not literally mean that. So it means through his expansion. Sometimes he mentions it whenever Krishna says, "I create." It means through his energy, like I create. So, and sometimes he says, "My energy creates." So it's like sometimes you may say that I picked up this mobile phone, or you may say that my hand picked up my mobile phone. You know, both, you know, in one sense mean the same. So it's all a sense of primary attribution and secondary attribution. Whom is it primarily attributed to, and whom is it secondarily attributed to? That's the way we see. But a worshipper of Brahma, for him, it's actually meant, he would take it as Brahma being the actual controller only. And that's how he is expected to take. That's how his Shraddha towards his worshipable personality would flourish. That's what Krishna says. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktam shraddaya architam icchati tasya tasya achalam shraddam tameva vidadamyaham. This is one of the ways that Krishna makes their shraddha to particular demigods flourish, by presenting scriptures in this kind of way, where they also get some feeling that, you know, the personality whom I am worshipping is actually indeed great, like that. So then he says, "Gunabhimani no devah sargadishvasya yadbayat vartante no yugam yesham vasha etacharacharam." Yadbayat, out of fear of time, guna abhimani no devah, the devatas in charge of the gunas, which means the gunavataras, esham vasha eta characharam, who control this universe, vartante sargadishu, they carry out creation, maintenance and destruction, which means he says that the gunavataras also function out of fear of time, like that. Then finally he says, sonantontakkarakkalo nadir adikridavyayah janam janena janayan marayan mrityunantakam. He says that avyaya kalah, unchangeable time, anadi, without beginning, adikrit, time itself is anadi, but it causes everyone's birth. Janam janena janayan, it creates population through mothers and fathers. And anantaha, the time is without any end, but antakkara, it causes everyone's end. Marayan mrityunantakam, and it destroys those subject to death by death. Whomever is subjected to death, time destroys them by death. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, no one can live within this material world eternally. The phenomenal world is created, maintained and destroyed by the finger signal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee does not desire anything in this material world. A devotee desires only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This servitude exists eternally. The Lord exists eternally, his servitor exists eternally, and the service exists eternally. like that. So therefore, that's what is mentioned by Narada Muni also. He tells, Tasyaiva hetoh prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyadah tallabhyate dukkavadanyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabira ramhasa. He says, therefore, an intelligent person does not try to strive for that which is swept by relentless time. Therefore, and he says, everything within this 14 planetary systems is swept by relentless time. Therefore, a kovida, an intelligent person, tries to achieve that which is not swept by the kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa, by the relentless sweep of time. Like that, same thing Prabhupada says, the only thing that is eternal is a devotee desires to serve the Supreme Lord. This servitude exists eternally, the Lord exists eternally, his servitor exists eternally, and the service exists eternally. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 3rd canto, 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila. Srila Prabhupada ki.